Praise the Lord. You may have your seats in the presence of the Lord. Are you happy to be in the house of God? Yes. Amen. I'm so delighted for what the Lord is doing in our midst, for having taken care of each one of you and sustained you throughout the week. Amen. We give God the glory. Now, today, I really don't want to preach. I want us to have a heart-to-heart talk. Amen. Somebody say heart-to-heart. And because we want to have a heart-to-heart, I'm going to ask you to do something extraordinary. I'd like us to come and occupy these seats. I've never asked you to do that before. If it's possible, maybe I'm not going to use a microphone because I want to speak as heart-to-heart. It's just kind of like I don't want it to make it a preaching session. So stand up on your feet. If you're way back there, Ron, maybe up to that, maybe Mom and Irene should be the last people. Stay there. But anybody behind Irene, please stand, come forward here. I'm giving you a promotion today. Amen? So that line of Felista, please come and occupy the seats up here. If you're back there, just come here. I want us to have a heart-to-heart talk. Amen? Pastor Francis, did you get that thing? That is your permanent position. Turn to your neighbor, tell them that is your permanent position now. Oh, yes, that's where you need to be standing. Felista, you look so good staying there. Ron, my son, you need to be staying there. Wow, it's so amazing. Joyce, you need to be staying there. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is beautiful. We thank God for what God has been doing. Has the Lord been good to you? Amen. For quite a long time, I've been wanting us to have this kind of a meeting whereby we can speak to our hearts and to each other because, you know, as a congregation and as a church, as a body of believers, I feel in my spirit that we ought to have this heart-to-heart. And I know we have some visitors. I hope you feel comfortable. And, you know, you came here. This is your very first time, but I believe that you're going to be blessed. Amen. I'm happy to see all Ambrose friends. Thank you so much. They have become my friends. And thank you so much for the way you guys are stick together. And I just wish I can get closer and closer to that fellowship and really experience what really brings you closer together. And I appreciate every one of you. Amen. Today, I want to speak to us about a vision. Somebody say a vision. The vision of our ministry and where we are, where we are going. I think from time to time it's very, very important for us to understand because without a vision, actually the Bible says that people do what? Without a vision, people perish. And that scripture is in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 29, verse number 18. I seriously do not think that the Lord really speaks about what many people have taken out of that scripture in the book of Proverbs chapter 29 verse number 18. Many preachers have taken it out of context, but what really it means is where there is no preaching, the authentic preaching of the word of God, and where there is without the application of that word that is preached to those people, then the people of God are without any direction. And perish in this context doesn't mean that, you know, you die or you know, because that's the immediate thinking or response that you have, you know, in that scripture. I don't believe perishing. Perishing might take many forms. You can be destroyed because, you know, you fail to reach your objective or you fail to reach your goal. Praise be to God. So it is very, very important, you know, where the word of God is preached. And we need to be epistles. Like in a congregation like this, there are many people. We are all at different levels, you know. And when we hear the word of God and we apply ourselves to it, it's kind of like like the raven of the Pharisees. Jesus spoke against being like the Pharisees, you know, and he spoke to his disciples, and he warned them against the leaven of the Pharisees. What the leaven does is that once you apply it in a dove, it spreads itself. And so it is the same way with the word of God. And when we take upon the zeal of the house, when everybody is committed and know their position in the body, it's kind of like a leaven. You affect somebody who may not really be well aware of what they are supposed to do. And just because of your activity, just because of what your position, you know, taking up your position and adjudicating what you're supposed to do, it affects somebody else. That is what I know in ministry. You know, we grew up in a church whereby many of us didn't know what was supposed to be done at that particular moment. But because there are people who are committed in that church, we were able to emulate them. We were able to watch them and to see how they did things. And as a result of that, we started doing ministry. We started being involved in ministry. And Paul admonishes the church and he says, emulate me as I emulate who? As I emulate Christ. I was telling us last Sunday, you know, about what Paul said. You know, he was imperfect, just as many of us are imperfect. But he says, the qualities that you see in me that resemble the characteristics and the qualities of Jesus, just look at those characteristics, desire them, and if you find them worthy, apply yourselves unto them, and it is going to be profitable to you. Praise be to God. So it's very, very important for us to have authentic word of God being preached in our church. And we have been doing so, and I thank God even for the men of God that God has blessed this ministry with, men of that are well seasoned, stand up here and they preach the word of the Lord and they admonish us towards the right path that we are supposed to follow. And so this day, I just thought it would be a good thing for us to, for me to speak to us about the vision, where we are, where do we want to go, and certain things that we need to apply ourselves to so that we can achieve our goal. Now, I went and researched and I went to the dictionary and found out what a vision is. Can somebody tell me what a vision is? What do you understand by a vision? What do you think a vision is? Ambu, I know you know all these things, you know. by the way, some of you who do not know Ambrose is really qualified in all these things. What is a vision? Yes. 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 A vision is something that is in front of you. Somebody say in front of you. Somebody else, what do you understand by a vision? It's very, very important. What do you understand by a vision? Irene, I see like you want to say something. What do you understand by a vision? A hope for something? Brother Alex. The last time we were with you, you explained very, very, very clearly what a vision is. Can you tell us what a vision is?
A vision is a guideline of something that you have projected. Mm-hmm. Let's say, for example, I give an example of the construction that is going on 635.
Yes. Yes.
So a vision is something that you have in front of you, like one of us said, and that you are aiming to get to. And so whatever else you do is guided to the vision.
Amen.
Whatever steps you take are directed to the end of it. That's all I can tell you.
That is good. Very powerful. It's actually what Ambrose told us. Actually, a vision is a God-given dream. It is a God-given dream to an individual, to a family, to an organization, or to a church like ours that is intended to accomplish a certain goal. Praise be to God. Every person in this house ought to have a vision. Because without a vision, you are not going anywhere. We might find ourselves so busy and getting ourselves into the grid of life in America, especially in our country like this. This country is just set up in a way whereby you go to work, you have to go to work, pay your bills, and you repeat doing that every over and over. And that can drive us insane. So without a vision, which is a goal, a God-given goal, a God-given objective that is well-defined within the precepts of your person or within the precepts of your family or an organization like this, then we will not be going anywhere. It is very, very important for us to understand what your vision is. What is the vision of your family? If you're married and you have a spouse and, of course, you have children, it is important for them to understand clearly what the vision of that family is. Where do you want to be in the next 2 years? A vision may take, it might be a short-term goal. A vision of where you want to go or a long-term objective of where you want to go. Praise be to God. It might be 1 year, it might be a few months, however length of time it might take. But a vision is a concrete idea, an objective. It is a mental picture of what you want to go. Like for instance, you want to be a registered nurse, or you want to be a businessman. You have a mental picture of that one day I would like to sit, I want to be sitting in an office and I would like to be doing some form of a business. You have a mental idea, a mental accomplishment, an end product of a thing. You have a mental picture and now you're visualizing yourself, and it is a God-given idea. And then you have to go back from where you are and begin to work your way towards that vision, towards that objective. Now, without that, brothers and sisters, we are not going to achieve anything. We are going to perish. We are going to be destroyed. Praise be to God. Today in America, in our homes, there are so many things that are taking place, and they have removed us from the very objective that God intends us to be in. What do you think is the primary objective? The primary purpose of God creating us. What is the primary objective? Why did God create you? God created us, number one, to have fellowship with Him. Praise be to God. God created us that we may have fellowship with Him, that we may serve Him, that we may accomplish a certain purpose here on earth. And if you evaluate your life, everything is geared towards the service of the Most High God. And you know what? The enemy has distracted that way, and he has thrown in so many things, so much agenda in our life, so that we are overwhelmed with so many things and we fail to hear the voice of God. But let me tell you, church, we who especially who have known the Lord Jesus Christ and have come to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are miles way ahead of the game. Because number one, we have our relationship restored back to where it was originally supposed to be. And so our pursuit ought to be geared towards serving the Lord and identifying the objective for which the Lord has brought us here on earth. It is good to go to work, because without going to work, we can't pay our bills. Hello? It is good to go to work, because without work, we may not have personal development and progress in our lives. But you know what? I may not really make any sense saying this. Life is not just made of work, 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 work. Hello? Hello? How many of you agree with me? How many of you disagree with me? It's okay. Disagree with me. Lift up your hand. It is okay. By the way, this is a heart-to-heart, I told you. Life is not just made of one thing that is just occupies your life. You know, life is not just, you are never brought into this world just to do just that one thing that you do every single day until you die. And I've been asking myself so many questions, especially when I go to the department stores or I go to some of the businesses that we all go, and you find very old people still. I mean, you'd be thinking that these people would be somewhere. Maybe they would have organized their life so well, and maybe they would be now enjoying their retirement. Or maybe they'll be enjoying their lives after working all these years. But what they What I find happening, especially in this country, you find people who are complete old. I'm talking of old people who are doing work that is intended to be done by young people. Why do you think that happens? When I evaluate the whole thing, it's just because of lack of a vision. And I'm not saying that I'm well accomplished, but I'm here to challenge us, church, that even as I speak to you about the vision of our ministry and where we are and where we are going to, it is very, very important and of paramount importance. If you don't have a vision within your family, go and begin one. What are the set objectives of your family? Where do you want to see yourself in the next 2 years? What are the goals? What is the mental picture that you have? Okay, you might be married. You may not be married. Are you picturing, you have a mental picture that, you know, one day I'm seeing myself within a family? You can, whatever it is that the Lord, it is going to be God-given objectives and goals that the Lord is going to drop into your hearts. Praise be to God. It could be vision concerning your children. It could be visions concerning your personal development, like in terms of a career. It could be maybe starting a business. Huh? Whatever it is that the Lord is going to drop into your heart, then have a mental picture of it. And then after you have a mental picture of it, pray and ascertain that that is the thing that the Lord wants you to accomplish. And then all you have to do is back up, and now you have to retrace your steps. Okay. And then from this point where you are, what is really, you begin a journey called a mission. Somebody say a mission. A mission is the means that gets you to the destiny, which is your vision. Praise be to God. It is everything. It is the set objectives that are going to guide you and that are going to constrain you within the parameters of the course that will lead you to the what? To the end game, which is the vision. Okay? So do not be mistaken. You know, what is our mission? What is our vision? The vision is the course. It is the agenda. It is everything that that you need, every tool, every equipment, everything that you need, the journey. It is that journey that takes you from one place to that place. Praise be to God. When God spoke of Nehemiah to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, he was many, many miles away. And when the Lord spoke to him, and I believe it's the inspiration of the Lord, and he could not, you know, stand and see the desolate walls of Jerusalem, the city of the Lord, just being destroyed. He had to, after he had a mental picture of the walls being built, what happened? He began a journey towards Jerusalem to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And you can go read that portion of the scripture, you know, about how Nehemiah, the journey towards the rebuilding of the wall was not easy. And I'm here to tell you, when the Lord gives you a set of objectives that you're supposed to accomplish, the enemy is going to fight with those objectives. The enemy is going to make sure that you are distracted on your mission. Are you listening to me? He is going to make sure that you're distracted within your mission in order to reach your objective, which is the vision. And that is exactly what happened to Nehemiah. There arose people, opposition from every corner to fight Nehemiah, and discouragements came along his way to distract him from his objective, which was to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. But that didn't deter him, because he had sought the Lord, he had inquired of the Lord, and in spite of the opposition, Nehemiah had to search forth. I am here to tell you that, you know what, when you set objectives in your family, when you have personal objectives in your family, I mean, your personal objectives to accomplish a certain vision, it is going to be your post. Praise be to God. But on the other side, I would like to encourage you that the moment you have a mental picture of where you want to go, the moment you set your foot towards the accomplishment of that vision, there is going to be a divine provision. Somebody say divine provision. The Lord will make sure that everything will be connected, and he will connect you up with the divine connection, so that you, along the way, along the mission, as you apply yourself to the mission, there will be provision in order to take that will propel you towards the vision. God provided so much resources to Nehemiah in terms of the children of Israel, in terms of favor with the king, so that he provided all the building material for the walls. If he never set to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, I tell you what, Neither would the king. The king would never have known whether there was any need to rebuild the walls. The children of Israel would never have found anybody to mobilize them. Praise be to God. But the moment he set the first step. The moment he set the first step to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, there was immediate provision. I am here to encourage you that you should not lose heart. If you have a mental picture of starting a business, do not worry what the next step is going to be. Because I strongly believe that if it is the Lord who has deposited an idea into your life, then he knows where the provision is going to come from. Praise be to God. Just a few weeks, I set myself and I said, okay, things were not going very well in my, you know, around, you know, my homestead, and we decided to do certain things. I said, I have to go on the road. And by the way, I really open up my life to you, because if you don't know what I do, then it will be almost impossible for you to understand where we are going. So allow me to just expose myself to you. Is that okay? Being your pastor, I'm not ashamed, you know, to tell you the things that I fail and the things that my strong points and the things that really distract me and the things that really worry me. Because sometimes I get, you know, the Bible tells us not to worry, but sometimes I'm uncertain. I may not really know where, you know, up to what point, how the Lord is going to do certain things when I get to a certain place. So after a few months, I decided to go on the road and to drive the truck, you know, so that I can provide for my family and set a few things here and there straight. Now, most of you, I don't know whether they are like me. When I came here in America, Brother Gideon, we come here and we fail to find people who can advise us positively. And you know what? Within the first few months, somebody came and told me, you know what? You can be a trucker. You know, you can go drive the 18-wheelers. And let me tell you, within a very short time, I found myself in a class whereby I was supposed to be taught how to drive an 18-wheeler. And forms were brought and I signed in. I didn't even know what I was signing. But anyway, cut a long story short, I realized that within a few hours, that I already committed myself to a $6,000 loan with the 18%, which I was not even prepared for. Now, I know some of you may wonder how stupid or how foolish should you have gotten yourself into. But let me tell you, sometimes when you have a need and when you have trouble going on somewhere, you sometimes just want to get to the quickest route that is going to solve that need or that problem. And I know some of us have gotten into that kind of an area whereby you got into some kind of a business, or you got into an area, maybe it could be a career, whereby you found yourself overburdened with a financial burden and you didn't know what to do. And over time, you know, I've made very careless mistakes. Let me tell you, if I know what I know today, if I knew what I know today when I came to America, maybe my life would be a little bit different, maybe financially or in the things that I do. Maybe I would not be working many, many hours so that I can pay some of the debts that I found myself in. And listen, I'm talking heart to heart here. It's very, very important. Let me tell you, the average family of every Kenyan here, or maybe every family, the average financial burden is so heavy so that we don't even have time for rest. We don't have enough time to sleep. We don't even have time to serve the Lord. We don't even have time for one another. These are things that I never saw when I used to live in Kenya. We used to have a 12-hour clock, and you used to clock in at 8, and by 4:30, umetokea nyumbani, and you've come, you stay with your family, and things used to be very well. Am I talking the truth? But the moment we landed into this country, we entered into a 24, actually it's not a 24-hour clock. It is almost as, what is 24 times 3? Because sometimes we do triple and quadruple. It is actually, we are increasing. You know, we used to have, I'm going for a double, so I'm not going to be available. But now some people are talking, now I'm going for a triple. I think if you're talking on Monday, I think I'll be seeing you on Thursday. And it's like, this is the demand of our time and the demand of our attention is on a high elevated level. But let me tell you, church, if we don't change, it is not only going to destroy the mission that the Lord has given us, the purpose for which the Lord has given us, but it is going to kill us. It is going to kill us. I told you the other day, I don't know how many of you can remember, I gave you a testimony of a certain Kenyan person, young man. He came into this country. And he got into the greed of working and working and working and working. By the way, I don't want you to get me wrong. It is good to work. But we have to do everything in moderation. Because life is not just made out of work. You are not, you know, when I look at you, my brother, I don't see work all over you. The quadruples and everything. There is more to life in your life. If you have a family, that family needs you. If you have kids, those kids need you. If you have a wife, that wife needs you. Are you listening to what I'm trying to say? We have to create a balance, even in our lives here in America. And I'm telling you, listen to me very, very well. If we fail to do certain things and to make adjustments, we have to purpose to make some adjustments in our lives. Life is not about money. How many of you know that there are billionaires today that don't have any peace? During the stock market downturn, did you hear billionaires who killed themselves because they lost a few millions? And still they're still wealthy in their own standard. But now, just because the market crashed, they lost a few millions, some people lost, you know, killed themselves. So that tells me that money is not everything that we need, Ambu. Money is not everything that we need. There's more to life today than just working. We have to create a balance whereby, it is good to go and to go to work, but we need to have a vision. Okay, from this is the tragedy that I have right now. I need to work myself toward on this tragedy. I need to have a mental picture whereby I'm financially free so that I can have time for my wife, my child, my family, and friends, and the church. Because very soon we are gonna start here. And very briefly, I'll be telling you. And I hope time will allow me. We are going to have time to reach out to our neighborhood here. We are going to need, I'm going to really require you to volunteer your time. But how am I going to expect you to volunteer your time and on the same time expect you, because you have a really heavy burden of finances that you have to go to work and pay those debts. I understand that because I've been there. Exactly. Better help ourselves. That's what Gideon is saying. So, What am I talking to you? We need to have a mental picture of where you want to go. Because if you don't have a mental picture, you're saying, okay, I'm going to work. It is kind of a cycle that is endless. But we have to come to a point whereby we break that cycle and say, you know what, from this point on, I have a vision. I am gonna even work quadruple, but I'm not gonna work quadruple forever. I'll work quadruple and deny myself and pay this debt that has been a nag in my life. That credit card bill that you've been paying for 4 or 5 years, how about if you can just give yourself time completely and say, you know what, enough of giving interest rates to Bank of America. How about if you can direct that finance charges to Bank of America and just bring them to the house of God? Or maybe bless a family that is in need. Or maybe send that money for a mission for a preacher who is in the corners of Africa, Turkana there, trying to bring those souls unto the Lord. Are you seeing the sense of what I'm trying to say? And so a few weeks, I told my family, you know what? I'm going to go to work with a mission to accomplish. Because you know what? I realize that if I don't set my own family goals and tell them what is aware, it is really not going to work out. And so I told them at the end of June, I will sacrifice myself as hard as I can and do some of the things that have really maybe held us back a little bit so that I can now come to the church and do the things that we need to do here in the church. Okay? Now, that journey has not been very easy. I can tell you that sometimes I cried in that truck, you know, because I'm pushing myself, pushing the limits, pushing the envelopes, sometimes going without sleep. It is okay. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that forever. I don't want to be finding myself crying in that truck forever. You know, you cannot, Gideon, let me tell you, you only have strength up to a certain time. There's going to come a time whereby the things that you're doing right now, you're not going to be able to do. You know, let me tell you, when I was 30 years old, my goodness, that's the peak. You feel like you can do anything. You want to go, you can even go four, five shifts continuous without any worry. Oh, and you, even when they call you, oh, do you want to do a 6th shift? Oh, yes, I'm available.
Let me tell you, a time is coming.
Thank God, because the Bible tells us, I was telling my wife, we thank God for the power of Christ that lives in us, because what does it do? It quickens our what? Our mortal bodies. The power of that caused Jesus Christ to resurrect inhabits you if you're a born-again Christian, and it quickens your body. Why not for that? Some of us who actually will never go to work. It is that power that kicks you, gives you a kick so that you can. It's not even coffee. It is not 5-hour energy. How many of you take 5-hour energy? Come on, be honest now. Sometimes. 5-hour energy. Because you are the blink, kapsa. Eh? And you feel now if I don't take a 5-hour energy, you know you're not going to make it. But you know what? It is the power of Christ that lives in you that quickens our mortal bodies. Why not for that? We're not. But you know what? Even that, having said that, it's going to come an age where you cannot do what you're doing right now. And unless we have a plan, a mission, and a vision, and now back up and have a mission that is going to take us somewhere, let me tell you, it's not going to work. It is not going to work. And today we might laugh at those men that are in those grocery stores. Let me tell you, I went to Walmart one day, I had a contract, you know, to supply, you know, to go pick up, you know, groceries, you know, from Walmart distribution center and take it to all the stores that we have here in Dallas. Gideon knows this. I mean, the greatest tragedy that I experienced during that short time that I was there is to be told to back up my trailer and be given a loader who was almost 60, 70 years old to come and unload me. And here I am, I'm not supposed even to help him because of insurance things, and I felt so guilty. And I said, God, please help me. Help me so that one day I'll not be 70 years and doing this kind of a job. The only thing that can help us is to have a vision. Somebody say a vision. If you didn't have a vision, go sit down with your children. Go sit down with your spouse today. Go sit down, even though, let me tell you, it's going to be fought. Especially if you might be a wife trying to tell your husband, let's sit down. We need to have a mental picture of where do you want to see ourselves in 5 years. He might not even want to listen to that. But let me tell you, church, if we don't do that and we don't accomplish, what are some of the hurdles? What today, if I ask you a question, what would prevent you? What prevents you from coming to church on Wednesday? Because, you know, Pastor, if I don't go on Wednesday, then I'm not going to pay a bill. Okay, I understand. But what are we doing so that we can come out of it? Let me tell you, can I surprise you? We will never, ever be rich doing the work that we do. If some of you think that getting a quadruple, you know, okay, I'm going to be rich and independent, so how? You are not. Forget it. I've tried it. You know, you can try. You'll never be rich. Let me tell you. I'm rich. No, I'm sorry. Of course, you know what I'm trying to say. I'm saying, you know, super wealthy, whereby that you think that because of doing 4 shifts, you're gonna be super wealthy, that you can buy even a plane or go wherever you want at any time. No. But you have to have a vision in order for you to have. Number one, we have to have financial independence. Whatever we might want to do, man, whether you agree with me or not, if this is heart to heart. Pastor Tony needs to have financial independence. You, Veronica, you need to have financial independence. You, Mommy, you need to have financial. Every single one of us needs to have financial independence. Because when you have financial independence, you know what will happen? Is that you don't have to go all those many hours, and then you can spare some time for your children. We can spare time for our family. We can even spend time to rest. My God, when was the last time you just kicked back and you just relaxed without doing anything? Was there an attack? No, seriously, lift up your... You know, there was one day, you know, you woke up in the morning, here, since you came, that you kicked back and your mind was engaged on zero. You're just relaxing. When was the last time you did that?
By that time, you are building castles.
No, you are thinking how you are going to perform the fifth hour, the next shift. But how many of you know that is not the plan of God? God rested even on the seventh day, man. Let me tell you, sometimes I come home and my wife tells me, please, can you just sleep? Because I'm telling her, I have to wake up, I have to cut the grass. From here, I've gone to attend somebody's meeting. I have to go to attend this baby shower. I've gone to go to this, and then I have to sit down, prepare for my message tomorrow. I have to prepare for this. We're having an outreach. My wife tells me, please, can you just sleep? Don't even wake up. Because she knows what I've been going through. But in my mind, I wake up at 6 and I'm trying to, and I'm so tired. But how many of you know that it is time that God reorganizes our schedule so that we can have time to rest, Pastor? You know? Because life is not just work, 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 work. We need to have a vision. And you know what? That vision that you are God-given vision, if it's, you're going to have to sacrifice even for 1 year, it is okay. You know? Have a plan. The people who are building 635, I was asking somebody there who is actually a project manager. You know, this is what he told me. Whenever you have a project, they have a certain date. And that date, no matter what, they even have pictures that are drawn of how 635 is going to be. And they tell the people the opening ceremony is going to be on such and such a date. Okay? So they have to work. Their mission has to be composed in such a way that the vision will be accomplished at a certain date. Why can't we have that in our lives? Put yourself in May of 2013. I want to have cleared 2 of my credit cards. In June of 2014, I don't want to have any debt. Do you know it is possible? But it will cause you to work a little bit extra hard. Might want you maybe to get an extra job, okay? And it will be okay even to work even a quadruple shift, but with a goal. Are you listening to me? Am I making any sense right now? Because if we don't do that, it's going to destroy us. And so, even just before I tell you the things that we are planning to do here in shortly, it is very, very important for each and every person, each and every family, have a vision that is going to guide you. Especially if you have a financial burden, that is the number one, the destroyer. The enemy uses that to make us just turn the wheel all the time. Praise be to God. How I pray that the spirit of debt is going to be evacuated from our church. Yeah? All the finance charges that we pay to these financial institutions, and we are making them richer and richer and richer. That financial investment, you can put it maybe on an investment account, and it can build it for your future. Because let me tell you, it is only the devil who deceives us that you're going to stay young the way we are young today. 20 years from now, I'm not going to be looking the way I'm looking right now. It is by the grace of God, I'm still going to be young. But you know what? I think 20 years I'll be having a little bit struggle of walking, you know, not really the energy that I have. So if I don't plan right now, 20 years, if you're still going to be here and we don't plan for it, then what do we call that person? Huh? You want to say, but you don't want to say it. We'll be foolish, isn't it? If we know that 20 years down the road, I know you don't. Some of us maybe don't like what I'm trying to say, but it is a reality. If we don't plan 20 years ahead and we don't make any changes right now, let me tell you, we are going to, 20 years just goes like this. In America especially, things go so fast. It's like I just came into the United States, I'm looking back and I'm saying, God, what have I done? Okay? What are the self-accomplishments do I have? Okay? It goes very, very fast. And so we need really to be active. And whenever God has given you a vision, we have to focus. We have to focus on that vision. There are so many things that are going to be that will come our way to try to distract us from that vision. But when you're focused and you know what your goal is and you accomplish it, you'll be able to lift up your hands and say hallelujah. Praise be to God. So my admonition to you as your pastor today is that if you didn't have a vision, if you don't know where you're going to be in the next 2 years, please, I ask you kindly, go ahead and have a mental picture of where you want to be. If you have a financial burden, listen to me. Every single one of us, including I went through so many mistakes. I bought things that I was not supposed to buy at the wrong time, things that I could not afford, you know, got myself into a big financial mess. But now I've come to realize, wow, but you know what? I have a plan. I'm working towards it. And I have a set, almost a set goal where I want to be so that I'll be debt free. Praise be to God. Even if I'll be debt free, the only thing I want to pay, maybe if I don't pay everything, I don't want to have any credit card bills. I want because you know what I realize? If you only have your house rent, if that is the only thing that you pay, and the water bill, and of course those are just regular bills that you have, like the telephone, cell phone bill,
Really, how much is that? How much is that? Huh? Yeah, imagine if all you have today is just your house rent. How much do you pay for your house rent? $800? $1,000? If you have a mortgage, maybe you pay $1,000. And how much you pay for your phone bill? $200? $300? $45, yeah, if you have a Metro PCS, right? $45, unlimited plan, you know? Both email is all, everything is unlimited. $45, right? What else? How much do you pay for your water bill? And some of you is included in the rent, so you don't even have to worry about the water bill. What is the regular bill that you pay? Food in the house. How much food do you think you need in the house? Maybe a family of two, family of three. By the way, food is not very expensive in America. You can stock your fridge. How much do you think you can really, you know, those like every routine recycling bills? Do you think you can really finish 1,500? Can you really finish? Honestly, kama una madeni zingine, 1,500, do you think you can finish? Nato meweka pause hapo, you know, you have time to go and take your wife out or take your children out. 1,500 will do a month. And let me tell you, how many shifts do you need? Assuming that you get paid whatever amount of money you get paid, how many shifts do you need to pull in a month to make 1,000? You just need one regular job. And God is going to supply it to you. Huh? Or maybe say two, maybe one regular job and maybe two shifts somewhere. Isn't it? PRNs. Depending on how much money you get. But you know what? If that is your regular and you pray to the Lord, Lord, this is my 1,500. I need you to give me a job that is going to meet with this obligation. And I need you, God, help me so that out of this work, I'll be able to serve you. Let me tell you, I honestly can guarantee you this, that the Lord is going to make you connection and give you a job that will pay that money. And you know you have even some leftovers and support the work of the ministry. Hello? Hello? If you feel that, you know, the amount of money you're not earning will not make 1,500, look for a job. Maybe advance your career a little bit, you know? You can spend 1 year, maybe become a PRN or advance yourself a little bit so that you can have an increase in your finances. If you're two of you, I mean, 750, I mean, is there anybody who doesn't make 750 a month here? 750 a month? No, it's talk. I told you, I warned you, it's talk. So I know this is a very money when I talk. I know, I understand. If there be not somebody who makes about 750 a month, then ask the Lord, God, is there any way, Lord, you can help me earn more than 750? So that 750, if you have a partner that you stay with, I can make at least 1,500. Not everybody's bill here is 1,500. It could be 1,000, it could be 800. But you know what? You can ask God to create an avenue whereby you can make that amount of money. Amen? We have to be wise, like the sons of Issachar. They knew the times in which they were living. Let me warn you, church. Listen to me. If we don't finish right now, we are going to continue next Sunday. It is still no worries. The sons of Issachar knew their times. Let me tell you, things are going to get worse than they're getting better. They're going to try to fix the economy. You think it's going to get better? We are living in the end times. Guys, we need to read, and that's why we really need to familiarize with the prophecies of the end times. You think America is still going to be the greatest nation consistently until the end of the world? Is that what you think? Let us study. I wish we have time to study the end time prophecies. There's going to be an economic crash. Why do you think the Bible says, and the just shall live by faith? It's going to come a time when, let me tell you, just the other day, I was not even thinking about this economic crash that we've been experiencing in this country. They've been trying to pass bailouts for big banks. And the moment is kind of like, have you tried to seal, you've tried to seal a balloon or something that has water and you're trying to seal one hole and another one comes out of here and you're trying to seal that one? Have you seen Aflax? Have you ever seen that commercial of Aflax? It's trying to seal one thing and it's going to seal this one. It's trying to use the hands. And the moment you seal this hole, the other one in a metoboka, that's exactly, you know, America thinks worked so hard for its economic recovery. Hello? They did bailouts, and now President Obama is being blamed because of the bailouts. He helped actually even the The auto industry is now coming up. But when everything seems to be going on right, the jobs are picking up in America, you know, but see what is happening in Europe.
Guys, do you normally read the news of what is happening?
And now we have a global market, a global economic system that is all interconnected. If the economy in Greece, if the euro falls down, it will automatically affect America. And the government is so much worried, and they are praying day and night that the economies of Italy and Greece, and even in some of the countries in Europe, really recover, and they are really working so hard so that there's recovery in Europe, because automatically if it falls down, it will definitely affect America. And let me tell you, they might even try to fix it, but the moment they fix it, there might be another problem here. So it's kind of like an afflux kind of a thing. So we who are the sons of God, we who are the daughters of God, we need to know the times in which we live in. And let me tell you, I was telling you about this dream. Let me tell you, I'm not a dreamer. I mean, in the sense of like, when I go to sleep, I just sleep. Not that I'm not a dreamer. I try to do things, you know. But listen, I saw this dream whereby we were in America, and there were many, many, many people who were trying to queue for gas. They didn't have money. I could see people struggling, you know, like a bad struggle. You know, you tell people are really struggling. Gas was so expensive, and I woke up. I was so shaken. In fact, I woke up and I was sweating, and I told my wife, "No, this can't happen. This cannot be true." And to be honest, how many of you really thank God? You know, when after that dream, you really realize it was not the reality, and you say, "God." Because I saw people were really, really having trouble. They would go into the supermarkets, didn't even have food on the shelves. And immediately I felt the Spirit of God quickening me that you need to tell the church to be ready. A time is coming where things are going to get worse, and it's only the just that will live by faith. So it is of paramount importance for us to have a vision. Let us put our house in order. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Do you know there are so many people that are without job, but God has blessed you as a child of God to have a job? You go to work, you report every day. Don't take it for granted. Do not even be disgruntled with those bosses. Treat them well. They have given you a chance and opportunity. Do and work as Christ would work in that office. Okay? Are you listening to me? Be a representative of Jesus. Don't grumble. Don't complain. I know how we complain, and let me tell you, men, really, Tunasa, we really forget so quickly. Do you remember when we tried to get that visa and we were trying to get it and you didn't have a job and you said, when I go to America, I'll do all these things. And now God has given you a good job, you know? You work at least in an office. Or God has given you an opportunity to work in a hospital, whatever it is. Maybe you might be like a teacher, like our brother. God may have blessed you with a business. Let me tell you, it is very easy. We complain. We say, these people are doing this or they are doing the other. They're always giving me all this work to do. Come on, can you shut up and do the work? For heaven's sake, shut up and do it. Because there are so many people out there who are really wanting to do what you do. You know? Don't complain. Be thankful. And thank God. And let God use that place where you are to advance you and to create a recovery system whereby you come out of the things that you have right now. Let us organize our house in order. When we organize our house in order, we'll have enough finances. We can do the outreach ministry. A church that is involved in mission work is a church that God, that has the pulse of God. But how can we be involved in mission work when we don't have money? Seriously. When you know you're paying financial charges, how many of you have bounced a check? How many of you wrote a check and it bounced? Am I the only one? How much do they charge you? Ah, hear that chorus, 35. So everybody has ever bounced a check. Now, you didn't want to tell me, now I know. I heard everybody say, $35. Let me tell you, how much, if everybody bounces a charge in this church, bounces a check, and assuming that you have an account with Bank of America, are you making Bank of America wealthier or are you making it poorer? Why do they charge you $35 just because of bouncing a check? What benefit? What do they lose? I mean, what is it? First of all, you lose the reputation of the person you wrote the check to. They have very low esteem about you, but that you wrote a bad check. And then the bank has no mercy on you. They come and snatch your $35. System, man. The way the system is set up here. But suppose we can organize ourselves so that instead of paying through Bank of America, you can even give to the missions. We can propel the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you seeing the sense? We can give your time because you know what? You've already made your hours and you already have, you know, you have enough money that are set for that day. And so I don't mind even volunteering one day to come and just commit myself to the work of the ministry. But you know what? Without adjustment, this is going to continue. We're going to have problems. People are going to call, you know, oh, you know what? I'm at work. And I'll understand because I'm a pastor. I'll understand because we're in a grid. But I'll be failing if I don't tell us that we need to adjust ourselves and adjust our schedules and adjust and have a vision so that we'll be going somewhere. And in this church as well, if we don't have a vision, we are not going to go anywhere. In the beginning of the year, I told you that we are going to have several things. You know, I had this God-given idea that we need to outreach to our community. And you know what? It's amazing. There was one time, give me just a few minutes and then we're just going to conclude and then continue next time. One time when we came to this church, I just said, God, can you give me an opportunity of knocking to all the doors that surround us, you know, the doors of the homes, the residents that are surround our church here. And I didn't know how to do it. And so I'm working at Walmart, as I told you, you know, just doing this delivery stuff. And it got to a point then I felt like the Lord was telling me, okay, you need to get out of the truck so that you can mobilize the believers in the church so that you can go do what you want to do. Knock on the doors, tell them about Jesus. But I didn't know the plan, but I just thought in my heart this is exactly what the Lord wanted to do. Now, some of you know the Hispanic pastor who came to us, Pastor Jesus. He was looking for a job, you know, there at Cleburne, Texas. And so the lady who is the recruiter in that office called me and told me, hey, I have a gentleman here. He's Hispanic. The only problem is that he doesn't know how to speak English. Now, you know, I don't know how you'd be communicating. But he is interested to drive your truck so that, you know, he wants to get a job. And so I said, oh, yeah, I don't mind. You know, we'll be able to communicate here and there, whatever. You know, he's going to be able to do some work. Now, Pastor Jesus, as we all knew him, he was also looking for a position, to drive a position and all, where he would have time to go and serve in a church. And so when he came to our house, he was really trembling, you know, singing. And I told him, hey, number one, you have to know is I'm a pastor, so if you're going to drive my equipment, then I want us to have a clear understanding. This man started sobbing. He said, I can't believe this. I was just praying for God to connect me with a person. Anyway, cut a long story short. I knew Pastor Jesus and his brother. Not really his brother. His daughter was married to a pastor, was married to a son of a pastor who has about 2,000 members in Oak Cliff. And it was a Hispanic church. And so I told him, you know, Pastor, I told him what I wanted to do. The reason why I'm leaving this is because I want to knock on the doors around Farmers Branch and tell people about Jesus. And this guy said, I can't believe it. This is exactly what I want to do. I can't believe it. How can we go do that? The man was so excited. And, you know, he went and told the pastor in Oak Cliff. You know the pastor in Oak Cliff? He said, this is a good thing. And immediately, the pastor in Oak Cliff gave us, you remember those people who were coming here? So some of you who can remember, Mama, you remember Francis. He was giving us every week 20 members of his congregation, Hispanic people, to come and help us do the outreach every single Sunday. They printed all the materials that we needed. They provided for the personnel. They even wanted even to go further and bring some members here so that the Hispanic pastor would start a Hispanic congregation here. Do you see how God connects things? The moment I made a step, I didn't even know how I was going, but immediately the Lord made a provision. Outreach was just like a breeze because you know what? I would call some of us, you know, to come to help so that we could go outreach, but we were busy. Most of us were really busy. They were not even available because, you know, we have to go to work to pay the bills. So, but a few of us were able to come. You know, some of you can remember, like Mama Ngethe was there and, you know, Pastor was here. And a few of us were able to come here. And how many of you know that we had a 6 weeks project. We knocked on the doors of all the houses that surround Farmers Branch. We told them about Jesus. Up to today, we were living a truck in their homes. And after today, some of them, Hispanic people, they call Pastor Jesus. And he has since moved. He lives in Midland, Odessa. See, he was given to us only a short time to accomplish the purpose that I really, the desire that I had in my heart to go and witness and preach the gospel to around us here. And when that mission was accomplished, everything changed and he had to move, and now he lives in Midland, Odessa. Do you see what God does? The moment you have a vision and you put the first step on the ground, the Lord is going to bring the provision. It may be financially, it might be whatever family, it might be your career, it might be our church. The moment we set our foot on it, and that's this confidence that I have, that when we set up that food pantry, I believe, this is what I believe with the whole of my heart, that God has spoken it to me that we need to outreach and people and have a time where, a place whereby the neighbors, the neighborhood of the Farmers Branch where we are in a around our church would come on a Wednesday, and those who are without groceries, even members of our church who might be going through some struggle, that we will receive donations from Walmart, we'll receive donations from other stores, and that on Wednesday they will come here and receive groceries. I strongly believe that will be a form of outreach. I strongly believe that if the Lord opens a way, we can have a soup kitchen here, you know, in our church, and people can come here hungry and we can feed them. Praise be to God. I strongly believe that we can go to downtown Dallas and begin a homeless ministry, and in so doing we can harvest souls that are dying under the bridges, that are desolate with no one to encourage them. You know what? That is a mental picture that I have, and I have retracted back here, and we want to start on a mission. There has to be a mission towards that mental picture that we have. In order for us to be able to do that, part of the things that we need in a vision, I need to be available. And that's why I had to commit myself to driving that truck so hard, so that a time would come, and time has come for me to get off the road and come here, and so that I can lead us in doing this adjudicating this goal that the Lord has placed in my heart. Church, listen, I would need your time. We would need some finances. I would need your donations. When we call for people to bring in food, when we call for people to go downtown Dallas, I would need you to be available. And that's why it's very crucial, very critical for us to reorganize ourselves and have a vision of a time whereby we'll be able to release our time so that we can present ourselves and come and serve the Lord. Amen? But in our current situation, I understand even when I call you, when I don't see you, I know that you're working on your vision, trying to free up to your time. We are not all equal. I know there are people here who are doing very well, and so you have available time. When I call you, you're going to come, and we are going to do the work of the ministry. But for those of us who are still at that place, maybe you're going to school, or you're trying to accomplish a certain thing, please do it, but set an agenda whereby you'll be able to free up your time so that we can come and accomplish the work of the ministry. Amen? Are we all together? Now, we shall continue this next Sunday, and I'll be giving you more information of the things that we will be able to do. Now, alongside the things that we need to have, in any organization, we need to have a group of people that are committed to certain objectives of that entity. And for some time, I felt like, you know what, we don't want to just stream into the doors of this church. I know all of us are committed, and we pay our tithes, we pay our monies, but we need to have a sense of belonging. And I would like, next week, I'll be able to give you some forms of information. Would like to have people that you want to have a sense of belonging, whereby you feel you're a member of Empowerment Christian Center. I feel it is time for us to get committed to that cause, and I'll be explaining much of this next week, next Sunday. You know, we need to have a sense of belonging so that, you know, anybody asking you, where do you go to church? I not only go to Empowerment Christian Center, but I'm a member. I'm committed to the vision of that ministry. I'm committed to what we are doing, serving God in that ministry. Are we together? So I'll be explaining this much more next week, and I'll be giving you some forms so that you can give us information. You can have create a database whereby we'll be able to communicate, and I'll be able to, from time to time, I'll let you know the things and objectives that we are doing in our ministry. Praise the Lord. We shall do this, church. But before we can jump into what the Lord has placed in my heart, I know it has to begin at home. And I know we are hurting. Let me tell you, I'm committed to prayer that the Lord is going to create ways and avenues for us to get out of certain things that hold us and hold us back, so that we don't have time even to do the things of the ministry. We don't have time even for our family. We don't have even time for our children. I pray that a time is coming whereby, as many of us, God is going to drop an idea of starting a business. Let me tell you, you may not even have known that you can be a businessman. And some of you, when you look at the magnitude of becoming a business person, you might think that, oh, I don't even have the acumen, or that's not my element, you know? But let me tell you, God can change hearts. Business is good. I really like, I have an entrepreneur, what do you call it? Whatever it is. I'm an entrepreneur within me. I feel I want to do some business. And whenever you do some business is good, number one, because it gives you control your time. Number two, you also control your destiny. Three, I'll be talking about these things, you know, next week, you know, whereby we need to really kind of have a mental shift of how we think, because, you know, you can still be working, but still have something on the side that supports whatever you want to accomplish. Hello? And so far, I've been able to speak to a few of us. And let me tell you, I'm so excited about what some are doing in our midst. People getting into businesses and, you know, getting into, and they are bringing supplemental income, and it's going to make life, you know, you're going to shorten the amount of time that is going to take, you know, to arrive at your vision. It is okay to have some supplemental income, and I'm going to talk about this coming Sunday. Let us stand on our feet.